close your eyes and pull like a dog.
And a new Irish record for Phil Healy, 22.99.
Christy Cooney hands over the Sam Maguire Cup to Graham Canty, Cork All-Ireland champions for the seventh time ever.
Hello and welcome to the Star Sport Podcast. My name is Jack McCarran of the Southern Star and I'm joined as always by Star Sport editor Kieran McCarty. Before we kick things off, I'd just like to give a gentle reminder to our listeners and viewers to please rate, review and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and YouTube. It's a county final preview special on the podcast this week as we look ahead to the clash of Clonakilty and the Bars in the Premier Senior Football Final this Sunday at 3 p.m. in Páirc-Uí-Chaoimh. Clon, who are back in the final for the first time since winning in 2006, take on the fancy Bars, who were champions as recently as 2018. But as Kieran will tell us in a few moments, it seems as though the stars may be aligning for a Clonakilty win. Later on the podcast, we're going to be chatting to Clonakilty legend Tom Mannix, whose son Ross is a key member of the current panel. Tom, who was part of the 1996 county final winning team, spoke to Ger McCarty about that 96 win and what Clon being back in the final means for the Brewery Town. And then, for the more dispassionate view of the game, we'll be joined by ex-Cork footballers Micheál Hawley O'Sullivan and Dermot Duggan, who'll deliver all of the insights you'll need ahead of Sunday's game. Both Dermot and Hawley will also give us their big game verdicts. But Kieran, before we get in to the nitty-gritty of Sunday's game, why don't you share with us your own theory as to why you think the cards might be about to fall in Clonakilty's favour?
The stars are aligning, Jack, especially for Clonakilty ahead of Sunday's final. So let's look at the similarities between 2021 and 2009, which is the last time that Clonakilty got their hands on the Andy Scannell Cup or crowned Cork.
And 2009, which is of course what I meant to say in my intro, as opposed to 2006.
You were thinking of 1996. The Clan have won so many senior football titles. They've won nine. They're the most successful Carbery West Cork club when it comes to winning the Cork Senior Football Championship. So 1996, 2009, and hopefully, touch wood, we'll add 2021 to that list. But back in 2009, Clan's last senior football final appearance, they played the Bars, who are this Sunday's opponents, and Clan beat the Bars in 2009. So hoping that lightning will strike twice this weekend, and also in charge of the Bars, in charge of Clan in 2009 was Mike Hawley O'Neill, and Hawley is back in charge of the Clan senior footballers again this season, and they find themselves in a county final. So there are a couple of strong links between 2009 and 2021. And if you want to go back even further, if you go back to 1996, I think Clonakilty beat Duhallo in a quarter final that year, and this year Clan beat Duhallo in the quarterfinal. So I'm finding links left, right and centre here, but the main thing is hopefully that the stars will align for Clan this Sunday.
Well, Kieran, as I mentioned at the top, we're going to be talking to Tom Mannix in a few moments, and we'll also have analysis and previews of the game with Dermot Duggan and Hawley O'Sullivan. But before we do that, we probably should just chat about the game a little ourselves, and I want to get your own take and your own big game prediction. But we might start with the paths to the final for both sides, and obviously they had almost identical paths because they both came through the same group, and that was a group where Clonakilty and the Bars also faced off against Island Rovers and Ballincollig, and both sides beat Island Rovers and Ballincollig. Clonakilty beat Island Rovers on a scoreline of 3-10 to 11 points. They also beat Ballincollig 1-10 to 12 points. The Bars beat Ballincollig 2-15 to 1-17, and they beat Island Rovers 17 points to 111. But what's interesting, I think, about that group, Kieran, is that the Bars' easiest victory in the group in terms of scoring difference came against their opponents in Sunday's county final. They beat Clonakilty 112 to 105. So what, if anything, can we take out of that line of form in the group stage? We'll talk about the knockout stage in a moment, but just from the group, because they played the same teams and they played each other.
we're looking at Clonakilty first. So I was in Roscarbery when Clan beat Ireland in that first game. And that's a goals win games. Roll out that cliche for this one because Clan got 3 goals that day. And that was the difference between them and Ireland Rovers. Darragh O'Shea, I think, got 2-5. But it's the second game when Clonakilty beat Ballincollig. That's the key game from the group stage for Clonakilty because almost the exact same situation unfolded last season when Clan met Ballincollig in the group stage and Clan needed to win that game against Ballincollig. But it was actually Ballincollig who beat Clan and that ended Clan's hopes of getting out of the group stage and into the knockout phase. But this year, Clonakilty beat Ballincollig and that was important for so many reasons. First, it booked Clan's ticket to the knockout phase. And second, it was a psychological boost that it gave this group of players. And they've spoken about it in the last couple of weeks as well when I was talking to Sean White and Liam O'Donovan. Because over the past 5, 6, 7 seasons, Clan have not beaten Machuca Class as a big team. And Ballincollig are a big team in the County Senior Football Championship. They were winners not too long ago. They were finalists and so on. So for Clonakilty to beat Ballincollig, and even the way they beat them with a very late winner from Darragh O'Shea, it showed character, it showed balls, it showed that this team didn't want to be rolled over. And I remember talking to Liam O'Donovan before the Duhello game, and he said that this Clown team, they got together before the championship, and they said they're just sick of losing games. They know they have the talent in the ranks, but they pulled together. They've really pulled together this year. And that Ballincollig game was so important because it showed them, with all their hard work and all the talent, combine the two, that it can get results. So after 2 games, after those wins against Ireland and Ballincollig, Clan were already through to the knockout stage before they faced the Bears in their last group game. And this was a dead rubber as such, because both the Bears and Clan were already through to the knockout stage. So what they were playing for was top spot in the group. And the Bears did win that. Like you said, I think they won it 1-12 to 1-5. So they won by 7 points. But what's interesting here is that's Barr's lowest scoring tally in the entire championship. And I think that that's quite important here. Clan kept Stephen Sherlock to 1-2 that day. And even Sherlock's goal came from a pretty bad Clan mistake. So while Clan lost that game, they can still take positives from it. And they'll take a lot of learnings from it too. But the overriding factor before we talk about the knockout stage and the final is that the Barr's topped that group. And the Bears are the big, big favourites on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. And a good point you made there with regard to the Bears' low scoring against Clonakilty. And Clonakilty did have a very solid defence throughout the group stage. But what they also had was an eye for goal. They scored 5 goals in the group stage and only conceded 1. That was against the Bears. But they haven't managed to score a goal since, because in the semi-final they beat a very strong Duhallow side, 13 points to 1-9. And in the semi-final they beat another well-fancied Douglas side, 15 points to 1-11. So extremely impressive wins over 2 very good teams. On the other side of the draw, the Bears, who hadn't really found their goal-scoring boots in the group stages, certainly found them in the knockout stages, because they beat Éire Óg 116 to 12 points in the quarterfinal. And then, of course, that famous penalty shootout victory over Castlehaven after the game had finished 3-16 to 3-16 after extra time. So both teams have had very different paths to the final, because we said on last week's show the semi-final win over Douglas for Clonakilty was quite comfortable despite the close score, whereas the Bears had to go through the ringer to beat Castlehaven. So what can you take out of the 2 knockout games that both sides have had to reach the final?
Again, like when Clan beat Ballincollig, I think the fact that Clan beat a seasoned Duhallow team and beat a Douglas side that was a top-ranked team from the group stage, again, 2 huge wins for Clan. So momentum is building, and that's a key word with Clan right now, momentum. They have momentum behind them. They won 4 out of their 5 games in this year's championship. And this Clan team is built on their defence. We've spoken about it before. 6 of that back 7 have played for Cork at some level, be that minor, under 21 or senior. That's the platform for which Clan builds. That's the platform which this Clan team is built. And it's not stretching the imagination to say that Sunday's final is the Clan defence against the Bears attack, because the Bears are free scored. In Stephen Sherlock, they have the in-form forward in the county. He got 210 against Castlehaven. Like, that man is in the the best form of his life. And Clann know they need to keep him quiet. They need to, I don't know how you keep a man like that quiet, but you need to curb his influence as much as possible. But Finn Bars, the Bars, their free score, like you said, 3-16 against the Haven. Like, the Bars can rack up a big score. So that's what I'm looking at Sunday's final. I'm looking at how the Clann defence can hold the Bars' attack and keep her scoring down. But at the same time, how Clann Kilty can get enough scores up the other end. Because Clann have scored 4 goals in this year's championship. 3 of them came in that first game against Island Rovers. And to win the county final on Sunday, Clann, I think, will need to get goals. I'm not sure would points be enough against this Bears team. And when I'm looking at Clann, Dara O'Shea is their top scorer by a stretch. But a lot of these scores can come from frees as well. But what's reassuring and encouraging for Clann is that in the semi-final against Douglas, Sean McAvoy and Ross Mannix combined for 6 points from play each. And they need that again on Sunday. They need that plus another 1 or 2 points. And you need more points even from the likes of Sean White bombing forward. David Lowney, if he can get on the scoreboard, even off the bench. Clann need scores from everywhere to beat this Bears team, because Clann don't have that outstanding forward that the Bears have in the shape of Stephen Sherlock. So having watched the teams progress to the county final, I just think how that Clann defence can hold the Bears attack and then get scores at the other end, I think that's going to be key. But a big thing here, Jack, is the loss of Liam O'Donovan to Clann. Like, this is it's a hammer blow to Clann, but especially to Liam himself. Like, that man has been through the ringer with injuries over the last 15 months. Spoke to him before the game against Douglas, and he was telling me about his journey from after he ruptured his ACL. That was July 2020 in a challenge game against Valley Rovers. 9 months out, he was coming back, and then I think next was his hamstring. His hamstring went in before he was meant to start for Cork against Westmeath in a relegation game back in May. And then when he was coming back from that, he hurt his ankle. So 14 and a half, 15 months without a game. Then he came back. Then he came back in that game against Ballincollig, that Clann one that we spoke about. And we gave him the man of the match that day. Played against the Bears then in the group stage, but came off at half-time with a hamstring injury. Played the full game against Duhallow in the quarter-final. Almost played the full game against Douglas, but he injured his hamstring again towards the end of that game. And the news is he's out of the county final. So big, huge blow to Clann, because in that half-back line Clann have with Sean White and Liam Donovan, like, they are two incredible players. They're two inter-county standard players, and they bomb forward and they're energetic and they're the links and so on. So to lose Liam is a blow, but especially for the man himself. Like, and put the match to one side for a moment. What Liam has been through the last 15 months and the frustrations of all those injuries, and now to be setting out at the start of another rehab journey again, like, your heart to go out to the man, because he's such a positive character. I was even saying that to him after our last chat. I said, your positivity just shines through. Like, you were out for 15 months, yet you could hear the excitement in his voice, and he was just glad to be back. So he's going to miss Sunday's final, but no doubt the Clann lads would love to win it for Liam, because he's been such an integral part of their success this season. So big blow for Clann, but hopefully the lads can do it for him on Sunday.
Yeah, gutting for Liam O'Donovan, and as you say, the Clann of Kilty players would love to win it for him, but the question now, Kieran, I'm going to put to you is, can they? Because it's prediction time, and you've given us all the background. We know what's likely to happen if the analysis is anything to go by, but how will the game actually finish? What will the scoreline be? How close can you get your prediction to the actual outcome? Reputation on the line, Kieran. Let's do it.
This is heart and head stuff, to be quite honest with you, because everyone outside of Clann has the Bears as favourites. And you can see why. Like, they have that experience. They won the county final in 2018. They've been regular semi-finalists. They've been at the business end a lot more than this Clann team. Because it's worth noting, as far as I know, none of the Clann players have played in a county senior football final before. So they don't have experience of this big stage. Unless Thomas Clancy was involved back in 2009, because I know he was in 2010, but he was maybe 17 or 18 at the time. But you could say the majority of this Clann team have never played in a club game of this magnitude before, while the Bears have that experience of only a couple of years ago. So if we're looking at big match experience, just obviously tick the Bears, give the Bears a tick there. If you're looking at the attacking power, you've Stephen Sherlock. Like I said, that what he's put up, 335 or something crazy like that. So the Bears have the better attack. I think Clan have the better defense. So put my reputation on the line, even though the head says Bears, the heart is saying Clan for some reason. But a lot needs to go right for them on the day. A hell of a lot needs to go right for them on the day. You need the Bears to be off form as well. You need the Bears to be at 75-80%, and Clan need to have their best performance of the season. But we've seen enough in the last couple of games to see that this Clan team is on an upward curve. Like, Thomas Clancy has been superb at fullback. Sean White had his best game in the Clan jersey the last day. And even the likes of Mauro Shandy and Dan Peete in that fullback line, they're men of inter-county experience as well. Like, they're used to playing in big games, so they can handle that experience. In midfield, you're going to have Joe Grimes and Ben Ridgeway, and how they negate or Corby Maguire will be crucial too. Mark Collins did quite a good job on Maguire in the semi-final the last day, so maybe there's learnings that the Clan will take from that. And then you're just hoping up front that it clicks for Clan, that the likes of Darryl Shea, McAvoy and Mannix will come up with those scores and enough fellas chip in. But I'm gonna just edge for a Clan win. And maybe it's the Southern Star of West Cork cat here. And I'd be accused of that, of course, accused of bias being here in West Cork and with the Star. But the Stars are aligning to some degree. I think Clan can do it. And if they do it, it'll be a low-scoring game. So it could be like a 114 to 112 win for Clan, something along that lines. Two Kerrymen, two for Clan there in Darryl O'Shea and Joe Grimes. So maybe a bit of Kerry gold could Clan have a fierce reputation of Kerry footballers over the years playing a big role. So Darryl O'Shea to be man of the match as Clan sneak 10th county senior football title.
Well, there's your Star prediction from our sports editor, Kieran McCarthy. He has it Clan 114 to the Bars 112. In a few moments, we're going to hear from two very well-versed club men and county men in West Cork, Dermot Duggan of Island Rovers and Holly O'Sullivan of Carbery Rangers. And we're going to get their analysis and predictions. But first, we're going to get the view from inside Clonakilty as Ger McCarthy has been catching up with 1996 county title winning player Tom Mannix. His son Ross is also involved this weekend.
Now, we are delighted here on the Southern Star podcast to be joined by a member of the Clonakilty 1996 County Senior Championship winning team, a famous day for the club and a victory over a star-studded UCC at Páirc Uí Chaoimh. He, along with his teammates, are going to be presented at Páirc Uí Chaoimh on Sunday at halftime during the Clonakilty and St Finbarr's 2021 Premier Senior Football Championship final. And that man is Tom Mannix. Tom, you're very, very welcome to the Southern Star podcast.
Hi, Jar. Good to talk.
Before we get into 96 and what's happening in Clan and St Finbarr's, a lovely moment for your family this coming weekend because your son Ross is on the panel, something I'd imagine that fills you and your family with a lot of pride.
Yeah, sure. We're very proud of Ross and his team mates. They've worked very hard all year. The year started with, I suppose, low expectations, but a combination of hard work and effort and an odd bit of luck thrown in here and there, they've managed to get through to a county final, which is a great achievement. Yeah.
Indeed it is. And as you said, it's been a real team effort this year, and each of the players has said that with each passing game. And for 2009, to get out of the group was one of the things that the players really wanted to do. Now, they were in a very tough group with St Finbarr's, with Ballincollig, with Island Rovers. But Tom, did you see a boost in the team as soon as they managed to do that and get out of the group?
I did. I think the last couple of years they've had difficulty, I suppose, winning games and getting out of the group since the structure changed. But they got a lot of confidence from winning the game against Ballincollig and winning the game against Island Rovers, even though they lost to St Finbarr's. I think they lost by about 7 points there. So, but at that stage they had qualified, so the pressure was off. So they got a lot of confidence and they went into the Duhallow game with great confidence, and it was pretty much 50-50 on the day.
Yeah, and those 50-50, that confidence gained has seen them get over Duhallow. It's seen them come through a really tough test from Douglas, and they're now in a county final. You can sense the buzz around Clonakilty already. I would imagine you'd have seen and experienced it yourself. it's a lovely lift for any club to get to a county final, because everybody's invested in it, everybody hopes for the best and wants to get behind the team.
Yeah, it is a great lift. It's great to see underage boys and girls from, you know, 6, 8, 10 years of age up in Páirc Cliath for the last two games. And again, obviously for the final, they'll all have their jerseys on, they'll have their flags, and it's a fantastic day out, and it'll be in their memories forever, and it'll hopefully spur them on to achieving the same kind of targets when they grow up and play at senior level.
That's the real essence of it, Tom, isn't it? Like, that the youngsters get more out of these days than everybody else, for parents and for supporters like ourselves and people who've experienced days in the stands and on the pitch. It's a huge day, but for kids, it's a memory that will last a lifetime.
It is indeed, yeah. You can't beat it. I mean, we won the county in 1996, and, you know, it's no coincidence that in 2003 we reached the final. Castlehaven beat us, and then in 2009, and I've no doubt that those kids who got to those finals were all at the final in 1996. And they were taken in by the success and the drama and the whole spirit of the whole thing, and that spurred them on to their own efforts.
Indeed, that's very well said. Now, one thing we have to talk about, though, is the challenge that's facing Clonakilty in this county final. You've seen St Finbarr's up close. You've watched them throughout the season. You know what Paul O'Keefe has at his disposal here, and anybody that had any doubts about just how good this Barr's team is would have seen in the semi-final victory on penalties over Castlehaven. This is a serious, serious outfit, and a team that were tipped by many at the start of the championship to be there at the end. What are your impressions of this really, really talented team?
Yeah, they're a very good team. They're a serious outfit. They don't have a weak link. They've put up very big scores. They scored 316 last Sunday, albeit with an extra 20 minutes. But still, at the end of normal time, I think they're 311, 312. So at the same time, they had, I think, wides in the high teens. So they're getting enormous possession. They have a star-studded team. I think they've got the obvious names that roll off the tongue are Maguire, Sherlock. They've got Brian Hayes, they've got Sam Ryan. So right through the team, John Kearns' son is in goal. They've got stars, they've got high work rate. And as I said, they're putting up big scores. Clonakilty have met them quite a number of times over the last few years, and they've had the upper hand over us. They're both in the league, I think in the league final this year, in the group stage last year, the group stage this year, they've beaten us. So we'll be really up against it. But looking forward to the day, I think the Clonakilty team are growing in confidence as we go through the competition.
Indeed they are, and you're right to point out just the depth of that talent that the Barrs currently have, because they have four or five, if not more, players that came off the bench against the Haven and made an impact. That's the depth of their squad. But can I ask you, most people will talk about Stephen Sherlock as one of the most naturally gifted forwards in the county, and I'd imagine you'd agree with that. But I remember you playing midfield for Clonakilty, and I remember how going up and down the pitch and fielding and the kind of things that people, if your midfielders aren't doing that, nothing else is really going to work. And I think of Ian Maguire, and I see what he has done, not just this season, but over the last couple of seasons with the Barrs, as a fellow midfielder and somebody that would have played that position and played it so well for Clonakilty. What are your impressions of Ian Maguire and his importance to the Barrs?
He's very good. He's very important to the Barrs. And I think likewise with the Cork Intercounty senior football team. He's a vital cog. He's a key member. He's the captain of the Barrs team. He is the leader, both in attack and defence and in the midfield. The team rallies around him. He had Brian Hayes playing midfield with him a lot on Sunday. Brian Hayes subsequently went into the forwards and I think Commons came on. But while Brian Hayes was with him, they were a very good combination. Brian Hayes was tending more forward, and he was getting into scoring positions. Whereas the work rate of Ian Maguire was phenomenal, very, very good. I suppose the other point I'd make in relation to the Barrs is they've won it, I think, is it 2 years ago or 3 years ago? They won the competition. They were beaten last year in the semi-final on penalties. They would argue, I think, unluckily. But they turned that around last Sunday. So they're a team. They're a team of seasoned campaigners. They've got a very good backroom team, and they'll, you know, they're around the block. Whereas the Clonakilty team is quite young, quite inexperienced. You know, Ross and a lot of his buddies, Sean McAvoy, David Lowney, Mark White, they're all 23, 24. I think the oldest player is possibly Thomas Clancy at 27, 28. So I think it's quite a young team with not a lot of experience. So again, the Bars have I think the upper hand there.
Yeah, and it's a fair point. I mean, people will say we're being kind of pro-Vice Cork here, but the reality is, as you pointed out there with the age profile and the fact that Owen Ryan, selector, said immediately after to win over Douglas, this is bonus territory, because they themselves wouldn't necessarily have thought they were going to get to a county final. They'd have aimed for it. But because of the age profile and because they're up against such a seasoned team that's been at the business end over the last couple of years, Clann are underdogs and big underdogs going into this county final.
Yeah, I would agree, Dara. I mean, there's no sugarcoating that. I mean, it's not just playing the game. I mean, they're very much underdogs for many reasons, which I've already outlined. I think they're going to be up against it. The depth of the Bars panel you mentioned earlier, that they brought on probably five or six subs last week, and I don't think it weakened the team at all. In fact, it possibly strengthened it at the time. So they have a big panel. They play for each other. They won it. They feel they've unfinished business from last year. I think they felt they should have won it last year. They did. They got knocked out by Castlehaven in a thrilling semi-final. And they're back on a mission now, I think. So they will be very hard to overthrow.
Indeed they will. So it's going to be a cracking final, a wonderful day for Clann GAA Club that you and your family can look forward to. Hopefully Clonakilty will come out the right side, but as you said, big underdogs. Let's go back to 96, because in 1996, Clonakilty barely got over Shandoon in the first round in Bandon. I don't know if you remember it, but in that run to the final that year, Tom, you scored in every game bar the semi-final against St. Finbarr's from midfield. You were a regular scorer of a point or two, and it was something that was very important at the time, because all of Clann's games were close that year. When I say 96 to you, is there a specific moment? Is there a specific game? Or was it the final and the whole day beating UCC that comes to mind first?
I think... funny enough, your memory is better than mine. I couldn't have remembered that I scored in every game. I didn't think so. But anyway, look, every game had something to remember by. I can vividly remember the Shandoon game. I was a sub on that day. I came on, I think, maybe in the second half, early in the second half. Myself and Ono Manny, we came on. I think we both scored on the day, and it was quite a low scoring game. Mark Naughton, I think, tells us that he scored everything else. So, we then went on to play Ballincollig in a gorgeous summer's evening up in Newcestown, and that was a thrilling game. They had Paddy O'Mahony, did Fergal Cahan playing on the same day. A guy called Jerry Ring, he was as tough as nails playing midfield. I had some great battles with Jerry over the years. Again, we pulled through by a couple of points. I think Brendan Walsh got maybe one or two goals the same night. We then went on to play, if my memory serves me, Duhallow down in Coachford, and I got a goal. I was lucky enough to get a goal that day. It was a very wet and murky day. You know it's quite foggy. You couldn't see from one end of the field to the other. But we pulled through again. Played against Danny Cullity. Danny Cullity was playing that day, and they had a number of very good players. But we pulled through, and then the famous night in Bandon when we played the Bars, and Brian Murphy went for an early shower. I think he took a break. He decided he'd enough done. But and that was the night, obviously, that we played with 14 men for, I think, probably the whole second half and some of the first half. But it was a thrilling game. Again, a beautiful summer's evening in Bandon. And it finished with Padraig Griffin getting blocked down. We were a point down. and Pádraig got a ball, went for a goal, it was blocked, and he went for a goal again when he got it back, and he got it, and we won by 2 points, which was a thrilling game, really. I mean, that was probably the highlight of the year. And then, of course, the final final was a very wet day. The day itself was probably dry, but it rained a lot that weekend, and we played UCC, who had, as you say, a star-studded team. They had players from all over the place. They had Kerry players, they had Clare players, they had Waterford, Limerick. Obviously, a few Cork players playing with junior clubs and intermediate clubs. So again, but I think by that stage we'd built up a lot of momentum. We had a fantastic spirit in the team, and we managed to pull through by, I think, a couple of points in the end. I think Terry Dillon scored a goal, which proves to be the difference between the teams, really, in the end. And that goal was scored maybe midway through the second half. But, you know, fantastic year, absolutely fantastic year. And what really made it, I suppose, was the fact that it had been, I think, 40-odd years since Clonakilty had won the county. They had been in a number of finals and had been, I think, unluckily beaten in a few of them. But they had never won since 1952, I think. And, you know, it was a pent-up emotion, I think, when we won that day. And the final was just unbelievable. It was amazing scenes, both in Páirc Uí Chaoimh and back in the town. And it was a brilliant experience, fantastic experience.
Yeah, you've summed it up beautifully there, because I remember being in the stands that day. I remember shouting and roaring and not understanding at the final whistle, the reaction. I will never, ever forget the reaction at the final whistle of the supporters, the huge crowd that was there, the atmosphere. But what I also won't forget, Tom, is what it did for Clonakilty, the tone, not just in the immediate few days, but in the years and so afterwards. We had a team we could be proud of again, and we had a team and a football club, and, you know, we grew from that. Let's hope it's not too long before we get those feelings again. We're not saying it will be this weekend or any weekend after, whatever like that, but I think you understand from being a player, what a lift, as we alluded to earlier on, what a lift getting to a county final has already done for Clonakilty. And whether we win, lose or draw, that there's a young core of players there to build around over the next few years.
Yeah, I agree with that. And again, I'd reiterate again the importance of having a successful senior team. And they don't have to be successful every year, but they have to be successful every so often. And it gives the youngsters, both girls and boys, that somebody to look up to, somebody to aspire to be, and it brings, you know, it just feeds the conveyor belt for the future. But the effect on the town is fantastic. You'll see lots of flags, lots of bunting. I met Paddy Sam today, and he told me he was working on a song. I'm not sure how far he'll get now, but. Paddy is our musician when it comes to county finals, but no, it does mean an awful lot to people, and it gives everybody a lift. It shortens the winter, as they say.
Well, listen, you help shorten a lot of winters for Clonakilty supporters, don't you, the years? I hope you enjoy the county final being presented with your teammates at halftime, and hopefully the day goes well for everybody concerned. Tom Mannix, thank you very, very much for taking the time to speak to us here on the Southern Star podcast.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We're a couple of days away now from the County Premier Senior Football Final between Clann and the Bears. I'm delighted to be joined on the podcast by Micheál O'Sullivan and Dermot Duggan, two men who know a lot about these two teams on Sunday and a lot about football in general. And I'm going to come to you first, Dermot, because you were part of the Island Rovers management team this year, and you played both Clonakilty and the Bears in the group stages. Did you think then, when you were playing them, that you were looking at the two county finalists?
I suppose we didn't really, Kieran. You know, with the Bears, with their recent history, I suppose you always kind of think the Bears are going to be there at the business end, right? Clann, they seem to get better even as the year progressed. You know, it was interesting, before they played us, they had a number of league games where they were very open, and they seemed to be playing more of an attacking style. But then, coming up to our game, they leaked a few goals in a couple of their games, and they seem to completely change style. And it's a system that seems to have worked for them now, because they've definitely got the balance right between defence and attack, you know. And you know, it's huge credit to them, down to whether it's their management style or whether it's the players themselves and their work rate, but they've put themselves in the picture at the business end. And so I suppose at the start of the year, you probably wouldn't have said Clan, but you would always give the Bars a shout, of course. But, you know, Clan deserve huge credit for that.
Holly, we were chatting in the podcast recently about Clan, and they were unexpected quarter-finalists and unexpected semi-finalists, and now they're unexpected finalists. But like David said there, they're getting better game by game by game. You were in Páirc Uí Chaoimh recently to see the semi-final against Douglas. Did you feel they took it on again from their quarter-final performance against Tuhello?
Well, I suppose the big change for me in that game compared to the Tuhello game was, you know, they were carrying the ball far more against Tuhello. Well, you know, the conditions were far poorer. But when you saw the likes of Sean White and Liam Donovan and Grimes and David Loney and these boys crossing the halfway line and instantly getting their heads up and looking for the pockets of space for the likes of McAvoy and Mannix and letting that ball in quicker, because those guys aren't the most physical, but they are very pacey and they will score. I know that from my time involved with them in school games. So, look, that was the big change. And like Dermot said there, they are getting better game on game. They are growing in confidence. Now, I suppose overall, they would still be categorized as an inexperienced team at this end of the championship, but they have an awful lot of players who have played at a high level, who have experience at that level, and that will come for that.
Just back to you for a second, Dermot. And you actually mentioned how Clan set up against G in that first game. And if you look at the Clan as a whole, their back seven is probably the strongest part of that team. We've mentioned before, six of that seven have played for Cork at some level. You've Mark White in goal. You've Thomas Clancy. He's a rocket fullback. You've Sean White and Liam Donovan were immense the last day against Douglas. Dan Pete there, Maurice Shanley, and even Owen DC there as well. That Clan defence, can you talk to me about when you set up the play against them? What was your thinking? How were you going to try and get through there?
You see, we had kind of decided and we kind of expected them to set up like that, but it's one thing talking about how we're going to play against them. It's another thing actually doing it. And I suppose we were hoping to stretch them. Obviously, number one, we were trying to keep the game as wide as possible when we were attacking them. So we were hoping our half forwards, our wing forwards would hug the touch lines and open them up as much as we could. I suppose the second thing is you're looking for massive movement inside in our forward line to open them up as well, so that you're maybe you're running from corner forward out to centre forward, you're running from corner forward to wing forward, and you're trying to create gaps that someone then from behind can power forward into that gap that's created. So that was one way. And I suppose the third way then is you're trying to get runners from behind ahead of the ball as well. So they do pack their defence. They have a lot of numbers and a lot of men there. So you're hoping that when guys run from defence, that they continue their runs past that blanket and drag men out of there, because it's all about shifting that defence all over the place so that you do create these pockets. But as I said at the start, it's one thing saying it and it's another thing doing it. You know, it's not that easy when they have huge numbers there. Clan are very disciplined. They work hard there. There's an awful lot of teams bring people back there and they just ball watch. But Clan are very aware. They work hard. They communicate well to each other. So defensively and as a whole team unit, they work very, very well. And they will pose a lot of problems for St. Finbar's because, you know, St. Finbar's, a lot of their games they played, even against Castlehaven, it was kind of free-flowing football into in. But they're going to come up against something slightly different now against Clan. And they'll have to find the answers to that.
Just on that, Holly, and David makes a good point. Like, the Bars have been shooting the lights out. 3-16 there against Haven in the semi-final. They put up big scores in their group game. I think they got 1-16 against Aero Org as well. Like, Stephen Sherlock is having the campaign of his life. He's a championship's top scorer. But the Bars won't have faced a defensive unit like what Clan possess. Do you think that Clan defence is good enough to hold the likes of Sherlock and Co?
Well, I suppose the worrying thing when you talk about the Castlehaven game is that the Bears scored 3-16, but also at 17 wides. You know, so that is a dangerous step in itself, and I know it is over a longer period of time. But even if you watched the Bears, you know, when the Haven were 3 up with time up, in extra time, or with 3 or 4 minutes to go, like, the Haven did try to pack their defence. But the Bears were patient, and they wait for Sherlock. He's dormant. The next thing, he makes a run across the crowd and his men might get caught in the clutter of all the players that are there, and all he needs is a yard and it's off the shoulder, pop over the bar. plus the fact as well, they're power runners, not the likes of Maguire, Brian Hayes, Dennis O'Brien, Owen Commons, huge men, 6'3", 6'4". If they get onto that ball at pace and they see gaps and they're able to take the ball into that gap, you know, a lot of those stand defenders, like they're well able, but it's going to be a physical challenge to tackle these guys and stop them without fouling. You know, so look, the Bears are the kind of team, they went toe-to-toe with Castlehaven the last day and went man-to-man because Castlehaven were going that way. They have faced packed defences before. You know, we've packed defences against them, but their power running game, if they get that going and if they get the ball moving at pace around that packed defence, they will trouble the Clan defence. There's no doubt about that. But on the other hand, like, Clan probably have two backs. They'll probably end Sian McCarlock. Plus the fact Garrod Barry is sitting there the whole time, and if I was Harley, I'd be detailing Garrod Barry on the second man of Sherlock, because Sherlock will lose his men in the clutter of players, and Garrod Barry has got to be there then to make sure he doesn't get a shot off, because he'll shoot on sight. Doesn't really matter, they'll tell him shoot on sight. He could have 10 wides, he might get 10 points, but he'll shoot on sight, and they've got to be careful of that.
Remember, just to follow up on that and on Stephen Sherlock for a second, I was just checking there, I think it's 335 he's got in this year's championship and 317 from play. Like, that's outstanding scoring. We saw against Castlehaven, it was 210 he racked up that day. How did you set up against Sherlock to try and keep him quiet? Because when a player is that good, you're never going to kind of keep him scoreless the full game. Is it just trying to curb his threat as much as you possibly can? And if so, how do you do that?
I suppose you're always very aware, obviously, of a player of his calibre. I suppose, number one, you're probably going to put your best man-marking man on him to begin with anyway. After that, every team has its own way of defending. You know, some people bring back a plus one and maybe that plus one goes over and helps that guy. Other teams bring huge numbers back. You know, they might bring four or five back and they're trying to clutter out that whole space. So what we did was we'd been kind of using the system all year where we brought back a plus one, and that plus one was helping out whenever he could. And strange enough, I'm not sure what he ended up with that day. It wasn't one of his best days, you know. We had Sean Minahan on him. I think he did a reasonable job on him as well. But, you know, one man, as Holly said, one man definitely isn't enough on him, because they do look for him. He's their talisman every time, and he's the guy that wins games for them. And shooting on sight, as Holly mentioned again, like, that is an absolute trademark of his. Like, you know, a lot of time he doesn't even look to see is there a goal chance there. If there's an opportunity of a point, it's banging over the bar, you know. So, obviously, Clan will probably have their best man marker on him, whether it's going to be Shanley or Tom Clancy, you know, one of those. They'll obviously detail him, but they'll have big numbers back anyway, you know. Clan won't go away from the system they've been using all year.
And Holly, up the other end. So let's look at the Clan attack. Clan don't have a player of the ilk of Stephen Sherlock. Der Roche is the top scorer this year, but a lot of his scores have come from frees. But what was reassuring, I think, for Clan against Douglas in the semi-final, is Sean McAvoy got 4 points from play. Ross Manning's got 2 points from play. So they combined for 6 points, and they needed to do that because they need to take the pressure off Der Roche, because if he has an off day, Clan can struggle for scores. So when you're looking at this Clan of Kilty attack, can they get enough points to win the county, enough scores to win the county final on Sunday?
Well, I suppose if you look back on the last few county champions, as you said, you know, like Castlehaven and Brian Hurley, the Bears of Stephen Sherlock, you know, Rossett, John Hayes, Nemo, Luke Connolly, all players who are capable of getting 1-6, 1-8 in the county final. Now, you'd expect Darrell Shea to get 5-6 points from frees, but I think on his day, he's probably capable of getting 1-2 from play as well. You know, but he really needs to strike form. Like, he is probably the most likely fella they have to get the 1-7, 1-8. But still, you know, you'll have Sam Ryan and McAvoy now the next day, more than likely. Sam Ryan is, like, if you were watching the battle between himself and Brian Hurley, is very, very quick on his feet. And he was doing everything he could in a one-on-one situation. And he turned Brian Hurley over and over, and Hurley was still good enough to get the scores. But McAvoy is going to be facing a serious challenge against Sam Ryan. And, you know, Mannix is capable of more than two on his best day. And, you know, the best day is what you need for those three guys. They need to rack up, you know, the two boys need to rack up what they had the last day plus, and Darrell Shea needs to contribute more for play.
Yeah, but I'm going to dig into my bag of cliches and say goals win games. And I'm looking at this kind of Kilty attack, and they got four goals in this championship. Three didn't came against Island Rovers in that first game, and they got one goal, I think, in the four games since, and that was the last to the Bears. They didn't get a goal against Douglas or against Duhello. Like, I know it sounds very simplistic to say, but kind of Kilty would probably need to get one or two goals on Sunday if they have to have a chance of beating the Bears. Can you see where those goals are going to come from in that clan attack?
It's not obvious, I suppose, right? Even against the three goals they scored against us, Island Rovers, that day, one was a penalty, one was a kickout, a pre-rehearsed kickout that we did, which went wrong. And their first goal they actually scored then was a very good goal. You know, it was a kick pass inside to Conor Daly, I think, slipped his man and a good finish. But apart from that, they didn't have a huge amount of chances either, you know, and particularly in any of the other games after that, they didn't. Clan tend to win low-scoring games rather than high-scoring games, the opposite of the Bears, really. So, you know, Clan will be looking to keep the score down. They'll obviously defend well, and they'll hope to nick it by a point or two or whatever, whereas the Bears like to shoot the lights out and go on big scoring sprees. So, I think Clan probably will need a goal, wherever it'll come from, whether it's a penalty or whether it's from open play, you know, they probably will. But I think Clan will be looking to keep the game a low scoring game anyway, to stay in the game as much as they can.
Well, we obviously mentioned Daryl Shea there as a key man for Clan. Who are the other potential match winners or match changers in the Clan lineup?
Well, I suppose you were talking about potential goals there. Like, Clan's potential goals can really come from their half back line, where you have the likes of Sean White, hopefully the likes of Liam Donovan, even Clancy coming from fullback to create that overlap, that it might end up with the last pass in the likes of Daryl Shea's hands or Sean McAvoy's hands, or even Grimes coming through the middle could create the overlap. But, you know, they are playing with far more wit than they were, you know, and it suits them with the likes of the wing backs that they have. And if they can get that wit, like Dermot said earlier, to maybe open spaces towards the middle of the Bears defence when they need them, it could happen for them. But, you know, they'll need patience, but they're going to have to be moving at ferocious pace while they're being patient if they're going to drag that Bears defence around, because they have huge physicality in defence as well.
And Dermot, just to kind of touch on what you said there, ferocious pace against Douglas, Sean White was immense. So was Liam O'Donovan. Liam came off late in that game with what looked like a hamstring injury, and he's a doubt for Sunday's final. If Liam O'Donovan is missing for Clan, how much of a blow is that for them?
It would be a huge blow, of course. I mean, he's an intercounty player. Before he got his injury, he was one of Cork's stars, really, you know, in his debut year. So any player like that at club level is a massive, massive loss. I suppose they had played a couple of games without him beforehand, so, you know, they will be used to winning even without Liam. And as we mentioned there, you know, maybe if it was a star forward they were missing, they'd probably suffer and feel it a little bit more. But they already have a lot of very good defenders, you know, so maybe they won't feel that loss as much. But, you know, and, you know, when you think their defenders, you know, as we mentioned, they have Shanley, Tom Clancy, Daniel Peake, Lowney plays in the back line from time to time, Sean White, obviously, you know, DC, like, they're quality players, every one of them. So of all places in the field, I think they won't miss him as much as they would in other positions. But at the same time, having said that, he's a quality player, and any club team would miss a player like that.
So we're days away from the final, Holly, and it's a new experience for, I think, all these Clan fellas. Clan's first time back in the final since 09, when incidentally they beat the Bears, and Clan were managed by Holly O'Neill as well that day. But the Bears are used to the big occasion. It's not too long. They won a county title. They've been county finalists. They've been county semi-finalists. They're used to the big occasion. So when it comes to next Sunday in Páirc Uaibh, how much will the Bears' experience help them, and how much will the Clan's lack of experience, could hold them back some bit, or could this be a factor in the game?
Sure. Look, I suppose the stars do seem to be lining up for Clan. You know, when they won it last in 2009, they played the Bears. When they won it last in 2009, Holly O'Neill and Neil Deasy were in charge. Their winners from 1996 are going to be honoured at halftime. When they won it in 2009, they had three guys from outside. They had Martin O'Brien and Noel Griffin and McManus up front. This time they have three guys from outside. So there's an awful lot of things that they might feel are falling into place. But definitely going back to what Dermot was saying there with Liam O'Donovan, like I think the biggest thing with Liam O'Donovan, like if you have Liam O'Donovan and Sean White and the two wings, more than likely they'd be marking two of the Bar's big guys who are an aerial threat and a physical threat, but the boys might have way too much pace from on the ground, you know? And that could pose a serious threat and a serious attacking threat for Clan if the two of them are there. You know, I give Clan a chance. There's no doubt about that. It's a 50-50 game. Defensively, if they can hold Sherlock to freeze, plus maybe one, if they can hold him to 1-6, maybe 1-5, 1-6, you know, the Bars, you know, if McClicker hit farm or hits farm, he had a lot of boys the last day. Possibly he could take up the debt in scoring, but you know, they didn't have a lot of other players that didn't contribute on the scoreboard. So like that'll be Clan's number one. If they can hold Sherlock to a reasonable score, then you're not going to keep scores, like you said. But if they can hold him, you know, they'd be in the game and the game will end up more low scoring than what it was. And if it's a low scoring game, they are there with a shout.
Just on that for a second, Holly, I'm just going to go back to the Bars and Clan's group game this year. Both teams are already through to the knockout stages already. So there wasn't as much on the line except for the team to go through with 100% record. Bars won that day 1-12, I think, to 1-5. And that was Bars' lowest score that they put up this year. Sherlock only got 1-2 that day. So does that just show straight away there that Clan defence, even though they didn't win the game, but they still restricted Bars to their lower score of the championship and Sherlock only got 1-2. So that's something to build on again, is it?
It's definitely something to build on. And on top of that, I would say it's often better the devil you know. You know, the Clan are playing the Bars in the final. They played them in the group stage this year. They played them in the group stage last year. They'll have huge amount of knowledge of the Bars and video evidence on the Bars. You know, they're getting closer to them all the time. They got an awful hacking last year. They had it back to 7 this year, but just didn't score enough. But knowing Holly O'Neill, he will dissect the Bars and they will be, you know, when you lose, you often learn a lot more than when you win. And, you know, from the Bars' point of view, they've beaten Clan easily enough the last two games. Could there be that little bit of a relaxation mentally that the Bars might bring to the game that would give Clan a bigger shout?
Dermot, like this week now, it's all about the Bars. The Bars are the big favourites for Sunday. People expect the Bars to win. So, and Clan, like we said earlier, the unexpected finalists. They didn't go to the group stage last year and all of a sudden now they're in a county final this year. So I think they're a bit ahead of schedule of where they should be. So is the pressure off Clan going into Sunday? Kind of no one outside of their camp or the town will expect them to beat the Bar. So can they go up there and just give a performance, enjoy their football and just see what happens?
I think they can. And I think a team like Clan with the system they play in that, I think they can take huge comfort and confidence from the way they play because they're so used to it and they're so disciplined and so organised that if they continue just to bring that system, you know, they're not doing anything different. They're probably going to play in the exact same way. And, you know, that'll take away a lot of the fears and a lot of the nervousness before the game because they're so used to playing this way now, they'll carry that into the final again. And, you know, they'll hope it'll bring them an awful long way. And it will too. As we said in the group game, you know, they managed to keep the Bars down to 1-12, which is very low. They'll obviously be hoping on the scoring end of it that they can improve, you know. And as Holly mentioned, you know, Sherlock is the key there. But trying to keep Sherlock down is the key. But I think, they'll come into it with a reasonable amount of confidence, I think, you know. Having gone from a position where people weren't, you know, predicting to make the final or whatever, you know. So I think they'll be happy enough coming into it. And, they shouldn't be too nervous or too overawed by the occasion.
Before I ask you for your predictions, just to ask you, Dermot, about Mark White as a sweeper keeper. Myself and Holly touched this on a previous podcast. I remember the game against Ireland. Said the game was 10 minutes old and Mark White took off up the field, but he took a bit of a tumble and he hobbled back between the posts for the rest of the game and he didn't venture out after that. But as the championship has gone on, it's becoming more and more of a potent weapon for Clonakilty. He was very good against Douglas the last day, creating overlaps and that other option. Is that another weapon for Clan on Sunday? But at the same time, if I'm right, I think against Bars in the group stage, he made a mistake that led to Stephen Sherlock's goal as well. So it's about getting it right on the day for Mark White and that sweeper-keeper surging up the field.
Yeah, I think it's a huge advantage to have a sweeper-keeper like that, particularly a player of Mark's ability. He was a midfield for Clonard under-21s. I saw him play when he was under-21, and he was a fantastic outfield player, you know. So it's not like they're forcing him to come out. He is a very, very good player. And you're right in what you're saying. He was outfield when that pass went astray, and I think it was Sherlock actually lobbed the goal in over a few lads' heads or whatever against Clan. But, you know, they persisted with it, and I completely agree that they should persist with it. I mean, like, can you name an outfield player who hasn't ever made a mistake, you know? So you have to have the confidence to persist with it, because I'm sure they've given up one goal, but I'm sure they've scored, you know, a lot of points have probably come off him from coming out the field and being an extra man. It makes total sense, in particularly the way Clan play, because a lot of their game is they defend in numbers, but then they attack in massive numbers, like a big wave attacking. So, you know, if players are just after running 40, 50 yards and they turn over possession, it just makes sense that you utilise a guy who's just been standing there for the last few minutes and he is able to play. So I have no doubt they'll continue to persist with it. And, you know, even if another goal went in the next day, I'm sure he'll create a couple of scores as well from the creating the overlap and the extra man coming out from the field. But I think it's good to see. And it's an underutilised thing in the GA, particularly when players have the ability to come out.
So it's prediction time. I'm going to come to you first, Holly. Will the Andy scandal be coming back to West Cork on Sunday night, or will it be staying up in the city?
Well, I've been tipping the bar since the very start of the championship, even when they were playing in the group game. And I think for this one, you know, they're more balanced than Clan. They're more experienced because they've won in 2018. And I think a big thing that we haven't mentioned is they have a better bench than Clan. And Clan's bench is going to be tested seriously, particularly if Liam O'Donovan is out. And when you look at their bench the last day, you know, there weren't too many players came on and made an impact. Whereas the Bears had Commons and Shields and Kean Walsh and maybe two or three more that came on and made the telling influence that you know, was pushing the game the Bears way, you know, that the Haven didn't have. On top of that, which kind of makes my decision for me, if it does happen that Liam Donovan doesn't make it, you know, I'd be definitely tipping the Bears. But Clan aren't without a chance. I would say that Clan aren't without a chance, but it's the Bears for me.
So Clan aren't without a chance, but Holly's going for the Bears. What about you, Dermot?
Well, I think the game, it's really a clash of two styles, really, isn't it? It's the defensive style of Clan, allied to their attacking in waves and attacking in numbers, against the more free-flowing Bears style of football. I'm going to give Clan a slight edge in it. I've been involved with Island Rovers when we played both of them. We actually got much closer to the Bears than we did against Clan. Now, I know Clan scored 3 goals against us, but I think Clan, with their system, they've been improving the whole time. And I think, as we mentioned several times, if Clan managed to keep Sherlock's scoring rate down, then I think with their system, I think they have a great, great chance. And as we mentioned before, the Stars seem to be lining up for Clan, you know, and I think a system, a well-worked system and players that are adhering to it and working hard at it, a system will always overcome individuals, I think. And I think with that, I think Clan, I'll give Clan the nod in this.
You set the stage perfectly for Sunday. Roll on 3 p.m. and throw in and let the battle commence. Thanks, lads.
Very good. Thanks, Kieran.
Thanks, Kieran.
Thanks for listening to the Star Sport Podcast, number one for sport in West Cork.
Welcome back to the Star Sport Podcast. So, Kieran, there has been 2 votes for Clonakilty on this podcast so far. Yourself and Dermot Duggan, Michal Holly O'Sullivan plumping for the bar. So that's anything to go by. That's another star aligning in your grand theory as to why Clonakilty are going to win on Sunday. Another factor to factor into your theory is that the Clon 96 team are going to be honoured this Sunday as well.
Yeah, the Clonakilty 96 team that beat UCC in that year's final. And Holly O'Neill was a mentor in that team. He's the man in charge now, and the man who was in charge in the 2009 win. He was involved in the 1996 Clon senior football title win as well. And that Clon team will be honoured at halftime in Sunday's Premier Senior Football Championship final. And as far as I know, the Bantry Blues team that won the 95 title will be honoured as well, because they couldn't have been brought up last year because of COVID regulations and all of that. So that's another West Cork link to this Sunday's action in Parkacquive. And just for any Clan listeners and any West Cork GA fans out there, if they can, get up to Parkacquive on Sunday and give this Clan team some support, because this Clan team is on a journey. And this is the first year of Holly O'Neill and Neil DC, Owen Ryan and Brian Murphy have been involved with them. and they've got them to a county final. So the building blocks are there for next year and the year after and the year after. So hopefully this is the start of this team's story and not just the end point. And we only have to go back to 2015 when Clonakilty were one game away from losing their county senior football status. They had a terrible year that year. They lost all their games, went through to a relegation final against Ahada when it was all on the line. And that year, 84 years of unbroken service of senior football was on the line that year. Paddy O'Neill was parachuted back in as manager that year after those three championship losses, and he pulled that team together and they got out of it. And now a couple of years on, Clon, with Hawley back in charge, find themselves in a county football final. So just for anyone, if they can, get up to Páirc Uí Chaoimh and watch the game. And if not, I know the Irish Examiner will be broadcasting on their stream, and that's well worth watching as well. That's a top class product. So hopefully the stars will align. And if they do, the Southern Star will be there to capture it all, Jack.
And ahead of the game, Kieran, there's obviously going to be a very special edition of the Southern Star sports section this week, looking ahead to the big game. So what can you tell us about that?
So we have a 16-page even big match preview, and it is packed with all the news, views, analysis, thoughts from both camps ahead of the game. So there's a lot of great pieces in there. Donal O'Sullivan chats to Timmy O'Sullivan about the 2009 win against the Bears. I have a piece on how the Clonakilty under-21 team that dominated the Carberry under-21A football championship from 2013 to 2015. And they won the three in a row. And that team now backbones this senior team. Nine of the players involved in that three in a row started in the recent semi-final win against Douglas. So we have a piece on that. We also have the thoughts of James McCarthy and James Whelley and more on, Jason Whelley, the Ireland Rovers manager, on Sunday's game. And they give us their predictions. We have a piece I've written called There's Something About Hawley. And I've chatted to various different people about Paddy O'Neill, just to see what it is about this Clon man, this local butcher who has given Clon the cutting edge both as a player and as a manager. So I've chatted to Conor Coonan and more about Paddy O'Neill. The press night was on Tuesday night, the Clonakilty press night, so we have the news and views of their players. We talked to Paddy Barrett about Clon's 2006 county senior football final win. GAA Statsman, anyone who follows Matthew Hurley on Twitter or on Instagram knows that Matthew Hurley knows his stats, and he's crunched the numbers for us ahead of Sunday's final. So a very good piece by Matthew there, and that's well worth checking out. Obviously we've the Bears angle as well, just see what the Bears are thinking, what's going on in the Bears camp ahead of the big game. And Hawley O'Sullivan's column is top class again this week. He's going through the game, and he's also drawing on his experience as a manager for Carberry Rangers. We're there in a county senior football final back in 2014. And he tells us to, as much as you can, plan for different scenarios and so on. You have to expect the unexpected as well. And he just talks about that. So as you can see, Jack, there's a hell of a lot in this 16-page preview. So that's well worth checking out on Thursday.
Yeah, and of course, if you can't make it to a shop, or if you're living abroad and you want to get the best coverage ahead of Clonakilty's clash with the Bears, you can always subscribe online. Just go to www.southernstar.ie/epaper and subscribe to the Southern Star on your computer, tablet or smartphone for less than €2 per week. Or if you want to wait until Friday, we have a 50% off Black Friday sale on subscriptions to the e-paper. So if you want to wait till Friday to pick up your digital subscription and then read about the Clonakilty Bears County Final, feel free to do so, because you'll save 50%, which I have to say sounds like a pretty good deal to me, especially considering, along with the packed sports section in this week's Star, there's also a bumper 128-page Christmas in West Cork magazine. So everything you need to know about spending the perfect Christmas in West Cork. And as I said, all available for less than €1 per week if you wait until the Black Friday sale on Friday, unsurprisingly. But Kieran, let's wrap up this week's show, because we have a lot of other business to attend to. Thanks for listening to the Star Sport podcast. We'll be back at the same time even next week with all the fallout from Pork. Equive, hopefully chatting to some victorious Clonakilty players. If you enjoy these shows, please make sure to rate, review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Slán tomhúil.